Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, new decade. Be future ready with Zurich. The power behind your pension.
At least 427 people have now died from the coronavirus, with more than 20,000 confirmed cases around the world, most of them in China. The man leading the global response to the crisis is originally from the Sligo-Mayo border. Dr. Mike Ryan is Executive Director of the WHO Health Emergencies Programme. As we speak, he's updating member states on the progress of the virus. But before he went into that meeting, I asked him what he'd be saying to the member countries today.
Yes, we've been keeping all our member states up to date over the last number of days. But today, really, we're just providing them, obviously, like the world is looking for an update on the current situation. And really, today is all about outlining the response strategy and the key components of supporting countries around the world to slow down the spread of this disease, save lives and build the research so we can develop therapeutics and vaccines.
So what is the latest? You have declared this an emergency, but you have not yet said it constitutes a pandemic.
No, and it certainly doesn't constitute a pandemic at this stage. And it's, again, just to use, you know, some numbers. I mean, there are nearly 21,000 cases of disease, 20,471 out of 20,629 cases are in China. There are only 158 cases outside China, albeit in 23 countries, and only 23 of those 158 did not have a travel history to China. And there have been some small clusters of local transmission in other countries. They are worrying and they're of concern. But it's very, very, very important for people to remember that this problem and the epicenter of this outbreak is still very much in China. And we are concerned with some of the developments. And that's why we're working so hard to contain the disease. And that's why we're working so hard to support countries to be ready for its arrival.
I suppose you're talking about perspective here, but people are worried about spread. And given the global world that we live in, is it realistic? Is it possible that you will be able to contain this virus?
We still believe that it is possible. Certainly the transmission is quite intense in Wuhan and in Hubei. But we haven't seen yet in the disease outside China is a rapid acceleration of that disease. So clearly there are some unknowns as to why the disease has behaved in the way it has within China. It's been quite difficult to stop and quite difficult to contain, despite the massive efforts by the Chinese authorities. So we're still in a wait and see. As I say, there are still many unknowns about the disease, but it's way too early to declare defeat in the face of trying to stop the virus. We believe the virus can still be contained. At the very minimum, the virus can be significantly slowed down, as it has been, in order for us to develop the preparedness, the readiness, the drugs and the vaccines we need to combat it.
And I've seen you quoted as saying that it would be a worry if the virus became established in what you described as a fragile country with a weak system. China is not that country. Nonetheless, it would be seen as a secretive country. Are you confident that China and the Chinese medical authorities have been dealing with this virus as early as possible and providing you in the WHO with all of the information that is necessary?
Yeah, I'm very pleased at the way China have been very open and transparent. They isolated, characterized and sequenced this virus in a very short time, and within days shared that with the rest of the world. And just to say, today, based on that, we've been working with companies and the public sector to develop standardized laboratory testing, which we've been able to dispatch today from Germany to 70 developing countries so that they can make the diagnosis in time to prevent transmission in their countries. So that is the direct and practical result of the openness that China has displayed in this case. It is very difficult to face a new virus. It is very difficult to deal with an escalating epidemic. And they have been remarkably open in that regard. And right up to the great leader, they've been very clear in saying that they wish to put public health and the health of their population before any other consideration. And we take that at face value. Having said that, and it's interesting, we have 23 other countries affected, and we haven't received data from all of them. And some of them are well-developed nations of the North. So this issue of transparency and data sharing cannot be seen as an issue purely of one country. And we encourage all countries to share immediately with us all of the data relevant so we as a global community can make good decisions in the coming days and weeks.
Is it inevitable that the virus will eventually arrive here in Ireland?
Well, we are in a globalised society. I mean, the level of travel to and from China has obviously greatly diminished, but the disease, you know, is in a few countries in Europe. It's clearly only transmitting at an extremely low level. Should the epidemiology escalate and the disease become established, certainly Ireland is a very open and open economy and a connected country now. So absolutely. So it's very important that the public health authorities in Ireland are well prepared. I spoke to Tony Houlihan, the chief medical officer, a few days ago, just looking at some of Ireland's preparations. Ireland did a very good job during the last SARS epidemic and, in fact, managed to host the Special Olympics slap bang in the middle of a SARS crisis and did that extremely well.
Dr. Ryan, I suppose your career from your days growing up on the Sligo-Mayo border, it's really a conversation for another day, but let me just ask you this. When you were growing up in Corrie, in County Sligo, did you have ambitions to lead the fight, the world fight against global epidemics and global pandemics?
I very much doubt I had it in my mind, but no, my dad was a merchant seaman for 25 years, so I grew up on stories of global travel, and so I was always, I suppose, had some wanderlust. I never imagined I would end up doing this, but you know, I lead a fantastic team here and a fantastic team around the world, and it's an honor to have this role, and but it's one that every single day exposes my weaknesses rather than my strengths. So I try to get better every day and do my job as best I can.
Dr. Mike Ryan, Executive Director of the WHO Health Emergencies Programme. He was speaking to me a little earlier. It's just